morning. This is a wonderful man of God. He's very humble. He's very sincere in all that he says, and I know that he just wants the Lord to be glorified. So y'all give him your undivided attention and pray for him as he comes to preach for us this morning.
Thank you, Brother Ryan. Appreciate you. Love you, brother. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Thankful today for each one that's here. I have a lot of family here, and I'm thankful for that this morning. A lot of the church family is here, and I tell you, that does something for me. Those that couldn't be here, some of them have texted me this morning and said, we're praying for you. And I'll tell you, that's what we need this morning, is prayers more than anything else. We need the prayers of the people. Amen. I thought, as Brother Allen and Brother Lonnie were preaching, I leaned over and I told my wife last night, I said, they are trumping right through my scriptures. Amen. So, if you hear a lot of what you've already heard, you just smile and nod your head like you've never heard it. Amen. Amen. It's all in God's time, right? And I've tried to obey the Lord in what He'd want me to do. I am nervous this morning. There's no sense in fibbing about that. I am nervous. Brother Joey, I'm like you. I didn't want to preach. I still don't want to get up in front of anybody. Don't like to do that at all. Brother Charles, I'm just scared to death to get in front of a crowd of people. Not as bad as I used to be. You can talk to my folks about that later if you want to. But I want to say this morning, I was sitting there thinking a while ago, you know, I am nervous. My heart rate is up pretty good. It's probably given my pacemaker a pretty good workout this morning, Brother Jerry. That's all right. I thought, yeah, I'm nervous. But you know what? I get to tell people the best news Brother Mike ever brought to this earth. And it's about time, church, we had some good news. Amen. And Jesus loves you this morning. Jesus loves you. I want to say before I get into my message, I appreciate this church. Brother Ryan, I thank you for the opportunity to stand. And those of you that sent cards and words of encouragement, you'll never know this side of heaven how much that means to a preacher. Amen. We do certainly appreciate those cards and knowing that people are praying for us. I want to ask you to stand together with me this morning. We'll get into the Word of God. I'll take my main text this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1 down to verse 18. But while you're turning there, I want to read another verse to you this morning. And I'm going to read it. You all can quote it, and I might could quote it, but I don't want to misquote it. It's found in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Paul said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you pray with me this morning? Our Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand and proclaim the truth of the gospel today. Lord, I pray, Father, this morning that you'd calm my nerves. Lord, I pray you'd help me, Lord, not to get ahead of you this morning. And Father, not to miss, Father, what you showed me. But Lord, I might portray unto the people that, Lord, that you've given me. And Father, I ask you to anoint the reading of the Scripture in our hearing today. Father, I pray you'd do a work in our hearts and in our lives, including me. But Father, if there's some here that don't know you from the free pardon of sin, Lord, I pray today that the Holy Spirit, Father, would do a work of conviction in their life. Lord, if they would have to come to know you as their personal Savior today before they leave this place. Lord, we ask that your will might be accomplished here today. Father, I ask again, you'd bless the reading of your word. That's what's going to change our lives. Lord, it's not my thoughts nor my ideas, but it's what thus saith the Word of God. So Lord, help me today. Put me out of the way. Lord, just help people to see you today. God, and I pray, Lord, that everything that's said and done in this place would bring honor and glory to your name today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. If For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I may preach a little different than a lot of preachers this morning, but I like sometimes, Brother Mike, to take a verse that God shows me and use that in the Scripture that He's given me for a text. You pray for me because I want this to work right. And if it does, all glory to God. And if it doesn't, I take full responsibility. But the Bible tells us this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1. If you would look in your Bibles this morning, 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want to say before I get into my Scripture text there, Brother Ryan, when he called, has already been mentioned by the other preachers. When he called, he gave us a theme, the glories of Christ. My wife and I had a discussion about that. And we talked about how could, you know, where do you go from there? And I said, well, it doesn't matter where you go from there because He's found in every chapter of the book. Amen? From front to back, Genesis to Revelation, He's there. Brother Allen aptly mentioned the other night to me back there, he said, just wherever you open the book and place your finger, there He is. Amen? If you don't see Him, reread it because He is there. Now, 1 Peter, and I want to speak to you this morning about the glory of salvation. The glory of salvation. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, who raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him, that being Jesus." God raised Him from the dead. Brother Ryan, gave Jesus glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Church, don't let, and I want to be very careful this morning. When I read Scripture, sometimes I'll just take off, and I've got some notes this morning that I'd like to follow, but I want you to understand this morning that your faith and your hope alone can be in the work of Jesus Christ and the glory that God gave Him when He raised Him from the dead. Thereby, we have hope. Amen. And I thought about, before I get into my message, I thought about this. There's a whole other message I'd like to preach on that. Faith, hope, and charity, or love. We've got to have faith. Amen. Without it, it's impossible to please Him. We must have hope. There's not much hope, Brother James Fox, in this world today. But I've got hope. And that hope's not fading today. Amen. As the world grows darker, Brother Allen, my hope grows more clear, actually, because I see the things that are coming to pass, and I know that someday soon He's going to appear before me. But then charity, love. One of these days, Brother Mike, I'm going to walk up there, and I'm going to place faith down, and I'm going to place hope down, but charity will continue. I won't need faith anymore. I won't need the hope anymore because it's realized. But then we'll really understand what true love is all about. But I believe probably not until that day can we fully grasp what love is really about. And we see here Jesus with the glory of salvation. I want you to understand this morning, it is with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Go with me this morning. My first point today would be the glory foreshown. The glory foreshown. From 1 Peter, we find that 1 Peter chapter 20, verse 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Lord, help me slow down. The first part of that verse, who was verily foreordained. What's that mean, preacher? That means before He ever created this earth, before He ever created man, there was already a plan in place to redeem mankind. You see, God knew, Brother Arliss, what man was going to do. He knew we were going to fall. He knew we were going to sin. He knew that we were going to trespass and that one day we were going to need a Redeemer. And still yet, you want to know what true love is? It's that He still created us, desiring a fellowship with us. That's what love is all about. The glory foreshown. You know, John told about it. Brother Allen, you mentioned this last night. I'll mention it again. In St. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, I had a man ask me one time about the Trinity. He didn't believe in the Trinity, Brother Mike. Man I worked with. So real quick, I sat down before work one day, and I had about a page and a half of scriptures. And now there was more. There's it's all throughout the Bible. But I had a page and a half that's easily understood that shows the Trinity. But he didn't understand. He still didn't believe. And I said, if you just look in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That where it says Word, if you'll notice, the W is capitalized, Brother Randy. That's a name. And His name is Jesus Christ. He was with the Father in the beginning. The Bible says in verse 2 in John chapter 1, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. We see the glory foreshown. Even in the New Testament, it tells us about what the Old Testament talked about. Amen. But go back to the Old Testament. Go to Genesis chapter 3 with me this morning. Genesis chapter 3. Very familiar passage of Scripture. This has already been spoken of during the camp meeting as well. But Genesis chapter 3, let's just start in verse 1. And I usually read a whole lot of Scripture when I'm preaching, because I'd rather have you hear what Jesus said is what I say. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Have you ever seen a time where the Word of God was questioned any more than it is right now? Or the commands of God? And the serpent here, he asked Eve, yea, hath God said? Questioning what God had said. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Two deaths right there, by the way. You know, there was no physical death before this. Because sin brought about physical death. But a spiritual death, separation from God. You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Notice verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. There's a lot of preaching right there, Brother Jerry. But I want to make mention this. I don't know a lot about fig leaves. But I did look it up a little bit, and I've heard Brother Doyle preach about it quite a bit. And when I read about fig leaves, it says one, the front side of them is almost like a sandpaper. Now, I don't know. I've not experienced that myself. And they said the back side is kind of like a stiff, hairy substance. But then the edges of that leaf are jagged. Now, get this. Adam and Eve have sinned against God. Their eyes have been opened to make them understand, Brother Mike, they have trespassed the law of God. They've got sin in their life. So what are they going to do? They're going to cover that up, right? Can you imagine wearing clothes made of sandpaper? Now, I'm not trying to be ugly this morning or irreverent. But Brother Charles, that would rub them. And I can just see Adam draped with this clothing of fig leaves. And it's just rubbing him. It's just eating him up, Brother Mike. And he finds no comfort in that. Well, let's try it the other way. Let's turn that over and try the other side. Well, he finds that now the sandpaper has eaten him up. Now the stiff, hairy substance, Dad, is rubbing him. And it's just irritating him. And he can find no peace. And not only that, he probably can't even sit down comfortably. Amen. These jagged, you think about those jagged leaves and how they might cut into you, Brother Allen. How many times in our life have we tried to cover something up in our life? And if you got conviction, that's what this represents, is conviction in their life, that they can't find any peace. There's no way, Brother Arliss, that they can move, that they can find comfort or peace in their life. All they find is discomfort. All they find is a reminding of the knowledge that they've trespassed against God. Amen. We do that in our life, don't we?
Yes, sir.
If you're here this morning, you're running from the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to find any peace in trying to cover your own sin, because there's no peace to be had there. But there's one. There's one who can take that off. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. But He'll remove that from you. And that ointment that He has. You remember when you got saved? Brother Mike, it literally. Now, I don't like to preach on experiences, because not everybody's experience is the same. And you don't go off of experience. Not a feeling, anyway. But I remember when I got saved, it was like literally a weight. I actually felt like a weight was lifted off of my shoulder. Brother Jerry, I was up in Alaska one time. My son was on a caribou hunt, and he killed a caribou, and we're packing it out on our backs. And I'd never packed anything like that. So we load this up, and he shows me how to get the pack set and how you strap that around you and you tighten it on the waist last to make that weight rest on your hips to bear the load. And we go down the mountain, and I'm going to tell you something. You think it's hard going up a mountain. You load yourself and try to go down a mountain, especially as you get older. Your knees don't like it very well. Let me shorten it up a little bit. We got back to camp. Brother Ryan, I sat down, and I released the straps off of that, and I stood up, and it literally felt like I was growing. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced anything like that. And I thought how much that felt like when the Lord took the weight of sin off my shoulders. Brother Mike, I realized that He bore that on the cross for me, and I trust Him by faith, Lord, that You saved my soul. And that weight was gone off of my life. And I'm thankful that God shows us ahead of time in the Old Testament. And let me get on into Genesis here. Genesis chapter 3. Let's go down for the sake of time. The Lord God, verse 14. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There it is. Glory of salvation, Brother Allen, foreshown in the Old Testament, that the Lord is telling them there's coming a day when the Savior is coming, and He is going to bruise the head of Satan with His heel. Amen. And He did that on the cross. He gained victory for us, church. I've been set free. Amen. I thought about Anna Kate singing that song, Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years. 10,000 years. Bright shining as the sun. We've no less days. I've got a lot less days on this earth than I had 53 years ago. But over there, in 10,000 years, I've no less days. To what? Sing God's praise. than when we first begun. Praise God. I tell you what, we've been made to sit in heavenly places in this meeting. Brother Ryan, I appreciate the songs that you've chosen. How good it's been to fit right with the messages of camp meeting. We've been made to sit in heavenly places down at Harmony Baptist Church and camp meeting down there. Brother Allen, I appreciate your work down there. All you preachers that have these camp meetings, these revivals, it's good to sit in heavenly places. And I love getting together with these people that I only see once in a while to worship the Lord. But can you imagine? One of these days. One of these days. And I believe He's in our presence. Do you believe He's in our presence today? One of these days we're going to be in His presence. Amen. Worshiping Him for eternity. It's easy to get off my notes, Brother Mike, in a message like this. But I'm still speaking about the glory of salvation. The glory was foreshown. Verse 15 here. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I wasn't going to use this statement from Matthew Henry, but Brother Allen used one last night, so I thought, well, it'll be all right. Matthew Henry said, no sooner was the wound given than the remedy was provided and revealed. Amen. Think about that. No sooner was the wound given than the remedy was provided and revealed. That remedy's there today, church. And He was showing them there. Now, in Genesis chapter 22, and I'm going to have to hurry up. Genesis chapter 22, I want us to look at something here starting at verse 4. Very familiar passage of Scripture as well. Let's just back up just a little bit. Let's just start at verse 1. It came to pass, Genesis 22 and verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Notice verse 4. Then on the third day. Then on the third day. I had to ask a preacher friend of mine the other night about this just to make sure I was on the right track. What do you think God was talking to Abraham about on those 3 days? There's a couple things I think of, and I thought of this, that I think God was probably reminding Abraham of His faithfulness to him and his son Isaac. You remember how I promised you, Abraham, even though you were as good as dead, you bore a son Isaac that I had promised you. But I think also the good Lord was talking to Abraham and telling him, Abraham, just as you are going to offer your only son, one of these days, there's a day coming when I'm going to offer my son for your sins. And that's what faith is all about. And the Bible says about Abraham, he said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. How were they saved in the Old Testament? The same way we are today, by faith. They trusted God, amen? They knew there was a Redeemer coming someday. God will, verse 7, of verse 4, I'm sorry. Looked in the wrong place in my notes. Verse 4, then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I've got that underlined in my Bible. That's the faith Abraham had, that God would raise him up if he did offer him to the Lord. He would raise Isaac up. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Amen. So they went, both of them together. Abraham, I believe, was probably, Brother Mike, shown this, that three-day journey. I believe God told Abraham, I'm going to provide myself a lamb for the sacrifice, not only in place of Isaac, but folks, it's a picture of what God did for us. Amen. God laid down His only Son, Jesus. The Bible says Jesus gave His life. They didn't take His life. He laid it down freely that we might be saved. God will provide Himself a lamb. There's one thing I like also in this, speaking of the glory foreshown. In Luke, you remember in Luke, we're just coming out of Easter season. In Luke chapter 24, when the two were walking to Emmaus and the Lord come up beside them, and they're talking about what's been happening the last few days. And the Lord reprimanded them a little bit. But notice in verse 27 what the Bible says. And beginning at Moses. What is that? I preached this a little bit Sunday night at the church. Beginning at Moses. Where is that? Well, Genesis. Genesis is the first book of Moses. So I believe the Lord Jesus started in Genesis. And notice what he said. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You can take the Old Testament and preach Jesus to people. Amen. And you can get people saved from the Old. Don't ever let anybody tell you the Old Testament doesn't apply today. It absolutely applies. Amen. The glory foreshown. The second one this morning would be the glory revealed or the glory manifested. In our scripture text of 1 Peter chapter 20, keep saying chapter 20, chapter 1 verse 20, the last part of that verse says, but was manifest in these last times for you. John chapter 1 verse 14. I don't want to misquote it, so I'm going to turn to it. As was preached to us last night, the Word, that being Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we, John said, we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This glory, Brother Mike, was revealed to His disciples. Amen. If you notice in John chapter 1, verse starting at verse 29, the Bible says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. That's the Lamb Abraham was talking to Isaac about back in Genesis. The Lord will provide Himself a Lamb without spot and without blemish. Church, He never had an evil thought. He never did an evil thing. Had He done that, He wouldn't have been the Son of God. Had He done that, Brother Charles, my faith would be nothing today. I'd still be lost in my sin. But I know and I believe that this is the Son of God. the glory that day was revealed, to his disciples, but is also revealed to a thief one day. In Luke chapter 23, verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, now before I go there, I want you to remember that in Matthew 27 and 44, the Bible clearly states that they both of the thieves cast the same in their teeth. What's that mean? That means they were speaking against Christ. Both of them were speaking against Christ. But there's one of them that saw something in Jesus' life that made him to understand and realize this is the Son of God. Never done any wrong. Never done anything wrong. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if, you see, people are still wanting a sign today, aren't they? If, Lord, if you'll just show me, you still won't believe. You still won't believe. Remember the rich man in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he said, Lord, if you just send Lazarus to my brother's house, then they'll believe. And the Lord told him, said, even though one raised from the dead, they'll still not believe. If they won't believe the prophets, if they won't believe the preachers, if they won't just simply place their faith and trust in the Word of God, they're not going to believe any sign. Amen? If thou be the Son of be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, what did he do right there? Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This thief simply said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus told him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Here is a man that's absolutely guilty of the crimes he committed. He said, we indeed justly. He admitted, Brother Mike, that he was wrong. He admitted that he was a sinner. You know what we got to do to be saved? We got to admit to ourselves and to God, I realize, Lord, that I am a sinner and that you are the Savior and that I need you in my life. That glory that day, the glory of salvation was revealed unto a thief on the cross. Don't ever think, church, well, I've just done too much. God just can't save me. You just don't understand what I've done. You don't know where I've been. Do you understand it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done? You're not ever going to go too deep, but what Jesus can't reach down and pull you up out of there. Amen. One thing we need to understand, when he died on the cross, do you believe this morning that all the sins of the world were placed on him? I believe every one of them. From Adam and Eve to the last person ever born on this earth, their sin was nailed to that cross. You see, so when people say, well, you just don't understand where I've been, could he forgive me? He's already got it there. It's there. The sacrifice has been made. The blood has been shed. Your sins were on the cross. Those sins that you think are so bad, they were on the cross that day. Jesus died for them. It's up to you to receive forgiveness for them. Repent. Brother Joey mentioned it yesterday morning. To repent, to turn from those, to confess them to Jesus. Lord, I realize I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. Those sins are already there, church. They've been paid for by the blood of Jesus. He revealed himself to a thief. And then notice, he revealed it to us in our access to God. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. We now, as Brother Allen preached about last night, we now have access to God the Father. We can actually go into the Holy of Holies, if you will. We can come before God. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50. The Bible says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, The veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. I'm going to stop right there this morning. The rocks rent. The veil was rent from top to bottom. Church, we no longer, not only do we no longer need an earthly priest, we can't confess our sins to man and have our sins forgiven. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I want to stop right there for just a minute. Now, I keep saying this, and I know Brother Allen mentioned it last night, but I truly do believe, Brother Mike, that Jesus Christ Himself walked into the presence of the Father. Literally. Brother Joey, with His own blood, and presented that for the sins of the world. Now, I'm set free. I am no longer at enmity with God, but I have been brought into peace with God the Father. Before that, I had that old fleshly robe of fig leaves that were just tearing me up. The conviction that was placed in my heart and in my life, because I knew, Brother Ryan, that if I laid down and went to sleep one night and I woke up, I knew I would never be in the presence of God ever again. That's the conviction that was on my life. But when Jesus walked in and placed that blood on that mercy seat, it sufficed the Father. Sure. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. The Bible says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was necessary, therefore, that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself." Right there it is, church. "But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that He should offer Himself often as a high priest enter into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." He's coming for a people that's prepared. Amen. He's coming for a people that is prepared. There was one other thing I wanted to make mention of. When Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, He was also revealed to one of them soldiers that day. So the centurion said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Yes, it was, Brother Charles, the Son of God. And even in that grave, dead, He is the Son of God. And even on the right hand of the Father today, He is the Son of God. And then the glory to come. The third point this morning, the glory to come. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. "Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." John chapter 14. Jesus said, "If you believe in God, believe also in Me." He said, "In My Father's house..." I'm turning over there. I want to read it. I don't want to misquote anything this morning, or ever for that fact. "Let not your heart be troubled," He said in verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go..." Listen. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." I'm talking about the glory to come now, the glories of salvation. There's a glory yet to come. He's coming back, church. He said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want you to notice, there's something that caught my eye right there. Jesus said, there you may be. He didn't say, there you will be also. Think about that. There's a lot of people sitting in churches today that think they're all right with God. But that way is a straight and narrow way. And the Bible says, few there be that find it. In church, God has called us to be a holy people. And we're to live a holy life as much as is possible in this flesh. And there's a lot of people tell me, you know, I just can't live the Christian life. Well, guess what? I can't either. Not in my flesh. I cannot do it. If it weren't for the Holy Spirit living and abiding within me, Brother Mike, I wouldn't even try today. That's why it's important that when you get up of a morning, you start your day with God. And when you end your day, you end it with God. And you include Him, Brother Wesley, in everything that we do all throughout the day. Amen? Because He is coming again. Remember what the Bible tells us in Acts, over there in chapter 1, when the disciples went with Jesus and He was taken up from them in a cloud. And those two angels stood beside Him and said, why stand you here gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him ascend. Church, He's coming back one day. We have the glory of salvation before us this morning. Unfit, unworthy. I am absolutely not worthy of His love. Brother Jerry, He gave it to me. Freely gave it to me. Laid down His life that I might be saved. Church, over in Revelation, let's turn over there for just a moment. And I'm closing. Revelation chapter 1. Starting at verse 10, I want us to see something this morning. And I don't think we can actually fully comprehend exactly what John experienced that day. I know we can't, or we'd fall right now at his feet as dead. Amen. Verse 10, the Bible says, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. John said, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Church, he overcame death and hell that day. Amen. When he gave his life for us, Brother Mike, he went down and he took those keys that rightly belonged to him anyway. He has all power, both in heaven and in earth. And this morning he has power to save your lost soul. If you're here this morning, you don't know him from the free pardon of sin. And one thing I want to make mention of, back there in Genesis, when they were wearing those clothes of fig leaves and they were just tearing them up and they were speared by conviction. What did God do? He slew an animal. He shed blood. The innocent died for the guilty. Brother Allen, that's exactly right. And he clothed them in a garment. Brother Mike, that I believe gave them peace that day. Back in right standing with God the Father. Were they still wrong? They sure were. And that's been passed upon all mankind. Let me tell you something this morning. If you're here and you're living in sin, you're not going to find any peace. And you're not going to find any comfort, no matter which way you turn, no matter what good program you might try, no matter what good deeds or how many times you attend church, or if you've even been baptized, if your heart's not right with God, if you've not confessed your sins to Jesus and repented of those sins and turned and walked away from them, you're going to find no peace. But when we confess to Him, Brother James, and we repent, He takes that robe of righteousness and places grace around us. Brother Randy, we've got peace in our. I've got peace in my heart. I told you all about my heart racing a while ago so fast. I actually do have a pacemaker. My church is going to get tired of hearing this, but that's all right. Some of y'all hadn't heard it. December 13th, 2021. I died twice that day. It's what the doctor said. But you know, in all that, Brother Mike, I had no fear whatsoever. One thing, I didn't understand the first time what had happened. And I didn't know till after the second time the doctor told me, he said, "You died. It's all electrical. My natural pacemaker is quitting on me." Brother Jerry, there was something about that. I will tell you and confess to you, I'm not a good patient. I don't think they could kick me out of there soon enough to suit some of the nurses. And God forgive me, I need to be more patient as a patient, right? But Brother Joey, I had a peace about all that. I wasn't worried. Now, if that had been a long time ago, I'd have been really worried. I'd have really been worried. And I'm not in any hurry to leave my family. But Brother Charles, I know one of these days, one of these days when that old thing just gives out, I'm just going to be in His presence. Amen. Amen. The glory of salvation. Church, I'm unworthy of Him. I'm unworthy to come before the Father. I'm not fit to go into the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus died and He presented that blood and that veil in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying God had opened the way that mankind could come unto Him, we can have peace with the Father. Do you have peace in your heart today, church? He is coming again. He is coming again. Romans 6:23 again. For the wages. What's a wage? Wage is something that's earned, right? If you're working trying to earn salvation, all you're going to find is death. Every time. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, amen, our Lord. Amen. Revelation chapter 20. And I'm going to close with this verse. Brother Ryan, if you need to get a song of invitation ready. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. John said, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." Church, there are literally books in heaven. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Church, there is a great day coming. There's a great day coming. That old song we sing. There's a great day coming when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come. I just simply want to ask you this morning. We can, each one of us just needs to ask ourselves, am I ready to stand before God and give an account of my life the way I stand right now? This church, the way you leave this life is how you're going to stand before God. If there's sin in your life, you need to come this morning, confess that sin to Him, repent of it, and ask Him into your life. Would you stand together with me this morning? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed as Brother Ryan begins to sing. Whosoever name was not found written in that Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Church, that's going to be an awful day. That's going to be an awful day for some. That'll never again have an opportunity to ever know any kind of peace. To be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says, outer darkness. It's like a darkness, I believe, probably that you could feel. And you're not even going to know that anybody else is there. It's a place of loneliness and torment. And the worst thing of all is that there's absolute and total separation from God. And only where God is, there's peace. But without the presence of God, there is no peace. Are you ready this morning to stand and give an account to God? Is your heart right with God? If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, I want to ask you, seriously consider right now, stepping out from where you are, make your way to this old-fashioned altar. There'll be people come pray with you and show you how to be saved. Church, Jesus is coming back very soon. You look at this world situation and you see what's going on around us. It's not going to be very long. And when all these things start to happen and start taking place, I believe it's going to happen really quick. Are you ready? Are you ready for the end time? Is your heart right with God? Every head bowed. Nobody looking around this morning. Just me and the Lord, please.